In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
First of all, I want to thank people that have sent in money to Holy Rosary for the people out in the street. Today, 120 pounds of chicken came in, and it's being cooked and baked right now as I speak. And people have been so generous, and I'm grateful, very grateful. And again, if you want to help the people out in the street, I'll give you the address at the end of the broadcast. This is something that we've been doing for 9 or 10 years. I don't even know how long we've been doing it. And we've done it every single Saturday, bar one, because about several weeks ago we had a snowstorm. We couldn't go out. So, we're looking at the letter to the Hebrews, the epistle to the Hebrews. And what does it tell us? It tells us that God spoke in the past in various and sundry ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son, who is the brightness of his glory. He is the express image of the Father. He upholds everything by his word. He upholds the whole universe by his word. For unto which of the angels has he said, "You are my Son, today I have begotten you"? That's from Psalm 2. Or to which of the angels did he say, "Sit on my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool"? Oh yes, right now Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father. He ever lives to make intercession. Then it tells us about the angels. They're all ministering spirits sent to serve us on the way to salvation. We need to realize that it's not about the angels. It's about the angels that worship God. It's about the angels that worship Jesus. These are ministering spirits sent to save us, to help to save us on the way to salvation. And we have been given so great a salvation in the blood of Jesus. So Jesus is greater than the prophets. Jesus is greater than the angels. And Jesus is greater than Moses. It talks about Moses. The Holy Ghost says, "Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in Meribah, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief, departing from the living God." I tell you that this was happening in the Hebrew community. They were being persecuted, and they were starting to fall away from Jesus. Jesus who gave them so great a salvation. Jesus who is greater than the angels. Jesus who is greater than Moses. But they were feeling very much tempted to leave Jesus and go back to the temple where it was so beautiful. But you see, if they did that, there would be their unbelief, and they would never enter into the rest of God. They would never enter the rest of God. And where do we find this rest of God? We're going to look at Psalm 95. Psalm 95. "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." Hallelujah. "Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all you give us. Thank you for Jesus. "Let us make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all the gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the highest mountains as well. He made the sea, it belongs to him. The dry land too was formed by his hands. Come then, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." Yes, he's holy. "For he is our God, and we are his people, the flock of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation." How did they harden their hearts? They harden their hearts through unbelief. Harden not your hearts as the day of provocation, and as in the days of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me, although they had seen all my works. 40 years I endured that generation, and said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my anger, they shall not enter into my rest. 40 years I endured that generation. Isn't that an awful thing if the Lord says to you or to me, I've endured you. I've endured you for so many years because you did not live in grace. You did not live by faith. You were just on the brink, but you never really surrendered. 40 years I endured that generation. Oh, that generation that lived in unbelief, that generation that lived without the rest of God, that rest, R-E-S-T, I'm talking about rest, like peace, the rest of God. Chapter 4, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left for us of entering into that rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. So God promises a Sabbath rest for us, as we have faith in Jesus, who is the exact image of the invisible God. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as to them, yes, unto us who are still believing, and unto them who have left. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Though faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, there are some Hebrew people that have left the flock. They have left the flock. They were not rooted in faith. They were not rooted in faith. They heard the gospel, and when times got difficult, you know what they did? They said, I'm leaving on a jet plane. For we which have believed do enter into that rest. You enter into the rest of God through faith. As he said and swore, he has sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Although the works were finished, God's works were finished, from the foundation of the world, for he spoke in a certain place on the seventh day, God did rest on the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remains that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Here we go again. The reason why so many people did not enter into his rest and left is because they stopped believing. They stopped believing in Jesus. They stopped believing in Jesus. They went back to the Torah. They didn't know that Jesus was the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. And it happened not because they didn't know. It happened through persecution. And they didn't want to endure the persecution. So they left Jesus. They left Jesus. Are you enduring persecution? Oh, do not be like the early Hebrews that entered into salvation. And then when things got difficult, they left Jesus through unbelief. Do not be one of those people who leave Jesus because of unbelief. Even though you are going through trials and tribulations, hold on, hold on, hold on to the cross. Yes, hold on to the cross, because the cross is firm. The cross is firm. The cross is firm. Hold on. Hold on to the cross, for the cross is firm. Why did they leave Jesus? Because of unbelief, yes, and because they did not want to be persecuted. Jesus promises his disciples, those who have left mother, father, sister, brother, home, and lands, will receive more mothers, not fathers, more mothers, more lands, more homes, more relatives, and persecution beside. Yes, that is what Jesus promises us. He promises us more of everything, but persecution beside. And when these Jewish people were being persecuted, you know what they did? They said, I'm leaving on a jet plane. And it was all because of unbelief. Again, he limits a certain day, saying in Psalm 95, in David, today, after so long a time, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. If you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Today, if you hear him speaking to you today through me, or through the Bible or through somebody else. Harden not your hearts. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. Remember, when the gospel is preached, it enkindles faith. But some people say, no more, no more. I've had enough persecution. I had enough trouble. It was better when I was in the Torah. It was better when I was in the five books of Moses. But now, I'm telling you, they have experienced heaven, and now they're falling back. They're leaving because of unbelief. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would they not afterwards have spoken of another day? There remains, therefore, a rest to the people of God. Oh, Lord, I want to enter into that rest as a gift. I want to enter into that rest as a gift, even when I am being persecuted. I want to enter into that Sabbath rest as a gift. Yes, there remains, therefore, a rest to the people of God, to those who believe, to those who have received Jesus, to those who surrender to Jesus. For he that has entered into his rest, he has also ceased from all his works, as God did from his. I tell you, I do not want to do my works. I want to do the works of God. Oh, yes, I do not want to do my works. I want to do the works of God. And I want to enter into that rest. And God told me so many years ago that in that rest, you would be able to do so much more than you ever would imagine because you've entered into his Sabbath rest. Do not leave Jesus because of persecution. Do not leave Jesus because of things coming against you. You said, before I was a Christian, I never had any trouble. I know the devil's got your name. And I always want to say this. The opposite of the devil is Michael the Archangel. Let me tell you this about the devil. Because he can't get at Jesus, he's getting at you. Because he couldn't get at Jesus, he got at some of these early Christian Jewish people. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And how did he do it? Through discouragement. They heard the word of God, but they didn't believe it. They did not want to enter into his rest. They were experiencing all these terrible things, and they said, okay, we're leaving, we're going back to the temple. For he that is entered into his rest hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. Let us labor, and let us just work to get into that rest that only God can provide. Oh, it seems like a contradiction. Let us labor to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief or disobedience. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Hallelujah. I'll read it again. The word of God, Jesus made flesh, is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. He is a revealer of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word of God, yes, the written word, as well as Jesus, the word made flesh, is sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces the soul and the spirit. It goes between the joints and the marrow. It is a discerner or a revealer of the thoughts and intents of the heart. How important we have the Word of God. How important we open our Bibles. How important that we see the Scriptures as the Word of God. How important that we see that it is by grace through faith that we are saved. How important that we hold on to Jesus even when things are difficult. Even when things seem impossible, that we hold on to Jesus, hold on to Jesus, hold on to the cross. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight in the word of God, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, hallelujah, that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. I'm going to read that again. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, we remember in John's gospel that his tunic was without seam. That's what the high priest wore. On the cross, Jesus was the high priest. On the cross, Jesus was the victim. On the cross, Jesus offered himself to the Father. Seeing then that we have such a great high priest, that's the name of Jesus, that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Let us not live in unbelief. Let us not live in doubt. Let us cling to Jesus in faith, no matter what we have. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all ways tempted as we are, yet without sin. Our high priest is Jesus Christ. He knows exactly what we're going through. He was tempted in every way, and yet did not sin. Oh, we have a high priest who has gone through everything that we go through. We can never say to Jesus, you don't understand. I'm telling you, he not only understands, he has gone through what we have gone through and what we are going through. And we have to cling on to him. Cling on to Jesus. Cling on to Jesus. Cling on to Jesus. He's the Lord. Cling on to Jesus, cling on to Jesus, cling on to Jesus, he's the Lord. Continue believing, for he's the Lord. Continue believing. For he's the Lord. In persecution, hold fast to Jesus. In persecution, hold on to the Lord. He is the image of the Father, the glory of the One Most High. He is the image of the Father, the glory of the One Most High. He has given us a great salvation through faith. He has given us a great salvation. Through faith, have confidence in Jesus as you had in the beginning. Have confidence in Jesus as you had in the beginning. Do not be unbelieving, but believe as you did at first. Do not be unbelieving, but believe as you did at first. For the Word is quick. The Word is very powerful. The Word is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing the soul and the spirit. We have a great high priest who has passed into the heavens. We have a great high priest, yes, a great high priest who has passed into the heavens. He is praying for you. He is praying for you. He's the high priest who was tempted like us in every way. But sin. Yes, he was tempted in every way, but sin. The high priest, the great high priest, his name is Jesus. He was tempted in every way, but did not sin. Listen to the next line. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. How do we come into the into the throne room boldly, because we are covered with the blood of Jesus. We can boldly come into the presence of God through the blood of the Lamb. Let us come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Yes, boldly we come before the Father. Boldly, not because of us, but because of the blood. Because of the blood that covers us. Because of the blood that has permeated to our hearts. Let us come boldly before the throne of grace. Let us not be wimps. Let us say, "Here I am, Lord. I'm your son. I'm your son. You've got to change things today. I'm your son. You've got to change things today, Lord. Let this persecution work together for the good to those who love you." Yes, all things work together for the good to those who love you. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. Oh, yes. Boldly, boldly, remember what happened, that when Jesus died, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and that means we can enter boldly before the throne of grace. We don't have to wait for the great high priest. We can enter boldly into the room where God is, into the inner sanctum where God is, boldly, because we are covered with the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Because of the blood of Jesus, we can enter boldly. Because of the blood of Jesus, we can enter boldly. Because of the blood of Jesus, we can enter boldly into the presence of the Lord. We are children of the Father and washed clean in the blood. Children of the Father and washed clean in the blood. Children of the Father, washed clean in the blood, we enter boldly into the presence of the Lord. Listen, my friends, do not think that you're a second-class citizen. Do not think that because of what you did in the past, God's going to determine your future. Just give yourself to Jesus. He understands what you're going through. He was tempted in every way, but did not sin. And no matter what persecution you're going through right now, hold on to Jesus. Do not give in to unbelief, because you will not enter into that rest. Do not give in to unbelief. Remember that Jesus is greater than the angels, because to what angels did he say, "Thou art my son, today I have begotten you"? And also, "Ask of me and I will give you the nations." Lord, I want the nations. I want the nations. I want the nations. You said, "Ask of me and I will give you the nations." I want the nations, Lord. I want the nations. Son though he was, he learned obedience through what he suffered. He learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all who obey him. Do you obey him? Do you believe in him? Have you surrendered today in him and to him? So today, we come to you, Father, through the precious blood of Jesus. We come to you, Father, and ask you, Father, we surrender our wills to you. We surrender our hearts to you. We surrender our lives to you. We surrender our bodies to you. Oh, yes, lungs are being healed right now in the name of Jesus. Lungs are being healed right now in the name of Jesus. Kidneys are being healed right now in the name of Jesus. We come before you, Lord, through Christ our Lord, through his shed blood. We come before you not as orphans, but as children. Oh, yes, we are the sons of God. We are the daughters of God. If we hold fast to our profession of faith, we belong to Jesus Christ. Yes, yes, yes. He is my Lord and my Savior. We belong to Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us. Yes, he is greater than the angels. He is greater than Moses. He is greater, 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 greater than any creature that ever walked on the earth. He is the Lord, and he has gone through all this suffering, and he is acquainted with suffering, and he became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Yes, yes, yes. He is the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Remember when Melchizedek was coming down from the mountain, what he was going to offer? Bread and wine. Jesus is a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. On the night before he died, he took bread and wine and said, "Take and eat, this is my body. Take and drink, this is my blood." Jesus is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek was going to sacrifice bread and wine. Look it up in the Bible, in Genesis, and you'll find it. I do thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the good news. I need to hear from people so that we can pay our bills. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Today we got into the chicken. 120 pounds of chicken legs are being cooked right now as we speak for the people that are out in the street. I ask people to send me a donation for these chicken legs and for the other things. Tuna fish. Oh, tuna fish is so expensive. We buy those humongous cans of tuna fish, and it's Father Tom, Holy Rosary, Winthrop, Mass. 02152. Father Tom, Holy Rosary, Winthrop, Mass. 02152. Do the best you can. If you feed the poor, you're feeding Jesus. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.